the tree so long that no one would know I was there. And I have seen, like, the Chinese gardeners go off in the bushes to urinate because they didn't know anybody was around.
How did the family spend its leisure? Did the family spend any time, its leisure time together?
Yes. My father's boss, Mrs. Johnson, arranged for me to have piano lessons. So there was a German teacher who would come on the estate once a week to give me piano lessons.
Was this at your request?
No. No, she just decided that this was what a child needed for its upbringing. Also, at this time, my father became concerned because I was not getting any kind of religious instruction. So she enrolled me in the Christian Science Church. So my father, to the day he died, attributed the fact that I was a little bit strange to the fact that I had been a member of the Christian Science Church.
Well, how did you react to that when you were small? Did you find it interesting, their teachings?
I don't guess I knew too much about it. I will never forget, of course, those big gold letters written on the wall, God is love. That's the most impressive thing I think about it to a child. And I remember that I had a Sunday school teacher who must have been something of a fruitcake because he'd sit there for hours and just stare at me. He was a beautifully groomed Italian middle-aged man. And perhaps the Italians just have an affinity for blacks. Or perhaps he wondered about my coloring and so forth. And that was his reason for staring at me. But he used to make me very uncomfortable. And then, of course, after church, I had that long walk back from San Mateo back to this estate.
Did the piano lessons in any way encourage you to
Well, what would musical? Happen was when I got so I could play a couple of tunes like the Moonlight Sonata and a couple of others that I got pretty good at, my father went and bought himself a viola. So he would bow that in an off key. And then the plan was that my brother would eventually get a violin and play the violin, and we would then be the Aeolian trio. But of course it never happened because my brother wasn't about to become part of that.
We were talking about how the family on your days off, when he was off and everybody was together, what would you do?
Well, it was about 1930 that my father knew of an area in the Santa Clara Valley, and he heard about a good buy in property. So we went down there, and my father bought this property. It was 17 acres. And when we first went there, there was a house on it. But the water was outside, had to be pumped. And you had to go to outhouses, which I refused to use because I knew that snakes lived in there. And, of course, the mosquitoes were so big, they flew in formation. So the most important thing about this place was it had an almost Olympic-sized swimming pool, which was then in what was called freeform. It is now called elliptical shape or something, and you frequently see pools in this shape. This particular pool was in this free form because every winter when the rains came, the pool would move in a little bit. And when it was repaired, they wouldn't push the wall back to where it had originally been. This land was planted in grapes, and the big wineries took care of the land in this manner. My father leased to the Almaden Winery and the Pedruzzetti Winery. And there was a third. I'll think of it in a minute. They brought in their own clippings, which were grape clippings that they had gotten from Europe after World War I. They put the grape clippings in the ground. They put the irrigation system in the ground. And every evening around 6 o'clock, they'd have a truck that would come through on the county road, and they'd turn the water on and irrigate the grapes. when it came time to prune the grapes back, they used wetback labor. And these good-looking young Mexican kids would come on the land and fix up the grapes. Well, of course, we lived on grapes all summer long. Who wanted to eat? We didn't want to eat. We had grapes. And we had a swimming pool. The swimming pool was filled. My father rigged up an old Ford automobile motor and to a well. And he pumped well water into the swimming pool. Well, that was great because you'd get up early in the morning and jump in that ice-cold water. Then my father put an old metal wood-burning stove close to the swimming pool. And you'd be in the water, and you'd been in there so long your skin would be like, you know, ducks or webbed. And you could smell the bacon cooking and something good in the oven like some hot snails or something.
Hot what?
Snails. You know that pastry that you have in the morning?
Oh, I thought you were talking about literal snails.
No. And it was so good to come out and have a cup of hot chocolate that my dad would make. My mother would be asleep. He'd make a big pot of chocolate. We'd have chocolate. We'd have bacon. We'd have a hot buttered butterhorn. That's the other name for it. And then he'd tell us, you have to wait an hour before you can go back in the water now because you'll get a cramp and drown. So we'd wait the hour. We'd watch the clock till the hour was up. But I had another thing I would do. This well went very deep into the ground. And on a hot summer day, I'd snake up to the edge of the well on my belly through the dirt just like a big old snake and look down in the well because you could see the frogs hopping inside the well. Well, my father said that if frogs were in the well, that meant the water was pure and that was good. And I believed him. He's not mentioning anything about what the frogs are doing in the water. And that's going in the swimming pool, too.
Wow. This was about 1930.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did the family keep this place?
I am selling it right now.
Oh. And you stayed there in the summer all year round from then on?
I hated it. Every summer. We were there all summer long. My girlfriends were going to parties and meeting the fellows from Los Angeles. I was in Paradise Valley getting healthy. I hated it. On top of which, the Santa Clara Valley is famous for rattlesnakes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. They got
poisonous?
Rattlesnakes?
Oh, I didn't know.
Outside
of
Cleopatra's asp, there is nothing more poisonous than a rattler.
Oh, I didn't know that all species were. Okay.
And my brother was a horrible little boy. Back in those years, county roads were not paved. They would tar them and they put gravel on top of them. Well, in this area of the valley, which is the mountainous part back behind Morgan Hill, the temperatures in the summertime get to be over 100. It gets to be 102, 103. Flies will be buzzing around and just drop dead. Bam. That's it. Well, we would go down to the road and we'd see a mark where a snake had started, pardon me, across the road to the bushes on the other side to cool off. But that tar would be so hot, and snakes have a small blood supply, so they would fry to death in the middle of the road. Well, my brother would take a stick, long stick, he'd go out there and poke it. If it didn't wiggle or move, then he'd go out and chop its rattler off. And he used to keep the rattlers in diamond matchboxes. Those matchboxes that you could pull the bottom out of, you know, and it had like a little shelf inside.
Right.
He had them full of rattlesnake rattlers. And I could never get girlfriends to come and spend any time with me, naturally, in the summertime, because also when you have grapes, you have tarantula spiders that appear during a certain season, during the fall, or just as the summer is changing. And my brother would think it was funny. In what was my bedroom in the cabin there, I had bunk beds so that if I did have a guest, we could sleep in the bunks. A girlfriend of mine came down, Johnny Osborne of Osborne's Funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny came down one weekend, and it was time we had sat up and told ghost stories and everything the kids do in the summertime until the mosquitoes had finally just run us out and we'd gone in the house to go to bed. And she pulled her sheet back and there it was in the middle of the bed, the biggest, deadest, but the biggest tarantula you ever saw. And she screamed. And off in the distance, I could hear chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. So my brother slank off into the darkness. A rat of the first water.
Oh, boy. It seems as if basically you and your brother enjoyed each other, though.
No, there was too big an age gap, you see. There was 7 years between us.
Oh, uh-huh.
So he was doing his thing, which I had long ago put down.
How did you celebrate birthdays, or did you?
Oh, I was a great cake baker. I baked cakes for all occasions, mostly chocolate, because anything that's chocolate is all right. So everybody got chocolate birthday cakes. I didn't know how to decorate them, but I put candy on them and spell out your name. Mm-hmm. Dad, Mom, Walt, anything above four letters you didn't get. And, of course, it was always after dinner, we'd turn out the lights and light the cake in the kitchen, and I'd march in with the glowing cake and deposit it in front of some whoever was so unlucky, singeing their mustaches as I did it.
Did you get gifts then, too?
Not really. We didn't receive gifts as children. We didn't even get Coca-Colas. What am I talking about, gifts? Coca-Colas were something we got when we went to visit someone who worked in service for some family who had maybe a child in the family, and they had sarsaparilla or Coca-Cola or some other beverage like that. That was the only time we got it. We didn't know what the soda pops were otherwise.
Why was that?
My daddy held on to it. Nickel until the buffalo yelled.
Did you have a nickname as a child?
No, they hung Sybil on me and there it stayed. I wanted to be called anything. Ruth, Alice, Jane, anything but Sybil. Was just terrible. Who ever heard of a Sybil? It's just now becoming a name that you hear. Well, I've carried it low these 50 years.
How did your, who were your heroes or heroines as a child?
I was madly in love with Robert Taylor.
Oh.
Oh, but madly. And I worshipped Betty Davis because, of course, I thought she was the baddest thing that ever hit a screen. And in later years in making motion pictures, I remember receiving, a friend sent me a notice from a Japanese paper where they described me as a peach-hued Betty Davis, and I felt proud of that.
Anyone that you actually ever met that you had a crush on or something like that?
Actually, my crush came when I was in college, and I subsequently married the guy, but I was just gaga. Just stupid. My father kept saying, he's not going to make you a good husband. He's lazy. He's no good. And I just tell him, he's good for me. You know, I'm getting out of there. I'm getting married, so now I'm talking back. As a matter of fact, at this grand occasion, at this fine wedding in San Francisco, Nob Hill, Grace Cathedral, and please believe me, 500 wedding invitations were sent out. So the gifts were loaded to the house was loaded to the rafters with gifts, and everybody who was anybody had come from Portland, Oregon, from Denver, Colorado, from Salt Lake City, from Los Angeles, everywhere to attend this grand wedding. And I came down the aisle dressed in white and laying my dad to rest. For one thing, when I had 17 in attendance, you know, 17 bridesmaids, and 17 ushers. One of my ushers is the now mayor of Oakland, Lionel Wilson.
Oh, God.
And Colonel, who is now Colonel Walter Loving, was the best man, who was my husband-to-be's best friend. Well, my father...
Was this Colonel Walter Loving Jr.?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say
his father died in the Philippines and the march to Bataan, the death march.
Mm-hmm. But his father had also been in the Spanish-American War, hadn't he?
Yes, he had.
Right, I thought so.
With the constabulary band.
So, let's see. You have to remind me. How old were you when you married the first time?
I was 19. As quick as I could get out of my father's house, I did it.
Was that one of the major motivations?
Yeah. I was not allowed to go out with boys, which none of the other girls I knew were either. This is what the debuts were all about. Girls did not date until they were 18 and they made a debut. Then they could date. The debut announced that they were eligible to be taken out. I don't remember anyone who got taken out, and I came up with a group of beautiful girls because they were Creole beauties.
What did you, we're jumping a little bit ahead in terms of adolescence, but staying in this age, what did you foresee in your future? What did you look forward to, or what did you expect?
I had no idea about being anything. I didn't know girls could be anything. Because this is an age of oppression that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when it came to be time for me to go to college, my father refused to finance me going to college, although I'd been an outstanding student. Mm-hmm. He would not finance it because he said that was throwing money away. The girls just got married, so why put them through college?
But did you have private fantasies or desires?
Yes, to be in Robert Taylor's arms. As a matter of fact, I wrote that down in my diary one day.
Oh, you kept a diary?
Oh, yes.
From what ages?
I think I received a diary possibly when I was around 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. Have you kept them?
No, I'm about to tell you why I haven't kept them since then. So in this diary, I wrote down, and he took me in his arms, and he bent me back, and he kissed me tenderly on the mouth. Well, while I was at school one day, my diary had a strap on it with a lock and a key. The key stayed with me. My mother saw the diary and wondered what was in it, and got her scissors and clipped it open. She didn't know I was talking about Robert Taylor.
Oh.
All she saw was that he took me in his arms and kissed me on the mouth, and she knew I was not supposed to be dating nobody no how. So she didn't do any whipping herself. What she would do would be, wait till your dad gets home. That's when you're going to get it. So by the time he came home, you got the heebie-jeebies. She called the mayor's office and told my father to come home, that there was a crisis at home. Well, I was in Lowell High School at that time, and I was just about arriving at our house. I was walking home with my little Jewish girlfriend, Evelyn Resnick. And just as we got to my house, my father was backing our car out of the garage. He was livid. "Who have you been seeing behind my back?" he said. "Who, me? What do you mean? I'm innocent. What happened? Why? Don't lie to me. I can look at you, Sybil, and tell when you're lying. I can see it in your eyes. I don't know what you mean, Daddy." And he never did explain that she had gone in this diary and read this, because I could have explained it. No, instead of that, he laid it on me. And he laid it on me in front of my girlfriend. After which I ran away. Because that's quitting time now. I ran away, but I didn't stay overnight because I had no money. I had no place to go. I had a student card to ride the streetcar, and that's what mostly I did. I rode to some of the places I like Land's End. I rode out there, and I rode down to the Palace of Fine Arts, and took that dinky little cable car down to Fillmore Street Hill. And after I got bored with riding on the streetcar, there was nothing to do but come home. So I did. Tail between the legs, I come bedraggled back in the house. So possibly at that stage of the game, it may have been explained that this was a fantasy that I was talking about a movie star, which may have brought about him telling me that black gals don't marry no white boys. It may have been just about that time that that thing don't work out.
What angered you most about this?
The invasion of my privacy was the thing that, that really nettled me. How would someone dare to? I wouldn't, to this day, I will not open any mail that is not addressed to me. And I am a great believer in the Golden Rule, having been a Girl Scout and a Brownie. Do unto others as you would have them. So the fact that my diary had been read by someone else, it was unforgivable. But I'm defused. There's nothing I can do about it.
What were other things that were more likely to make you angry as a child or as a teenager?
As a teenager, I had an interpretive dance class that I used to take at the Booker T. Washington Community Center. And this was still during the Depression era, but the WPA was in existence then. And there was a Russian woman who taught this class, a woman named Helen Dorfman. Well, I was a very pretty teenager, a very bright kid, and I was taking this interpretive dance class for my figure. I had by now learned that one should be very skinny and your hip bones should stick out in order to look chic, and I wanted to look chic. So Mrs. Dorfman decided I was just the right child to integrate the YWCA in San Francisco at 620 Sutter Street, which is the main Y. So in order to make sure that she was right, this woman was a confirmed pinko, but we didn't recognize that back then. She wanted to visit the home, so she came to our house, and being a white woman, my mother took to her like a duck to water, so they spent the afternoon together. And it was decided that I would be allowed to put in an application to join the Y. Well, the YWCA had a program for the Girl Reserves. I had already been a Girl Scout during the period I lived in Hillsborough, so the Girl Reserves were duck soup to me. I knew all the stuff they were going to teach before they brought it up. So what happened was after I joined the Y and they found out that I didn't leak and I didn't bite people or any of the other bad stuff, then they were going to allow other colored girls to join the... Isn't this terrible? But this is the way it was, to join the Y. So we then formed a club group called the Faustinians, after Faust, the devil. We were the little devils. And all of the kids that I grew up with can tell you the same story. Every Saturday we had what we called a breakdown. Breakdown was a dancing party. We used to get a man named Ernie Lewis to play the piano. We never had any dues that you could take to the bank because we used them up as quick as we got them. And my girlfriend Frances Nicholson and I would make the decorations. And having come up in Hillsborough, we'd make go cut down trees in backyards and make little blossoms out of crepe paper and fill a whole tree with blossoms. We'd work for weeks on this. And we would have the dance where we'd serve punch and we would have cookies. But mostly it was getting to dance with boys. That was important. And that is where many of the marriages came about. And that's where eventually one of the girls who had made her debut would come step off the elevator with some guy that was taking her out. Did you see who she was with? Like, I remember the day that Randy Osborne, Osborne Funeral Parlor, came to town. and took out Marcia Clark, who had just made her debut. But the families were friends. Well, when Marcia, who was a big horse of a girl, but a neat kid, when she stepped off the elevator at the Y with this good-looking fellow from Bakersfield, everybody fell prone. You know, we all rushed into the ladies' room. Did you see him? Ain't he cute? That old cow, don't she have another dress she wore at the last two parties? And like that. Now, my father was a drag at the parties because I was still a young kid and hadn't made my debut, so I wasn't allowed to go with fellows. So I went to the parties with my father. And, you know, you'd get to dancing, and somewhere in the middle of the night, along about 11 o'clock, one of the tall boys would reach out and unscrew the light bulb. Not while my dad was around. My father would jump up, run to the elevator, go downstairs, trot out to his automobile, fling open his trunk, get another light bulb, and come back and screw a new one in. So, you know, the kids hated to see me coming.
Did you feel, therefore, sort of socially deprived as a child?
I didn't know the difference. That's like being poor and not knowing that you're poor. I felt deprived during the summertime when I had to go to Paradise Valley and I knew the other kids were going to L.A. for their vacations, or that there were a bunch of kids from L.A. up here, or that there were a lot of parties going on I was missing. I hated that. But other than that, I didn't know the difference. Possibly when I was in school in Hillsboro, when I had reached the age where the boys and the girls are separated, and some of the kids had swimming parties on their estates, and I was not invited, I think I felt badly then, except that I knew that I could not get in the water and have my hair react the same that the other girls' hair was going to do. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise, because they weren't going to see me at my worst. And I had crushes on some of the boys in school, too. I remember there was one named Blair Hyde who was so pale that if you put him against a piece of chalk, he would have faded away. But I thought he was neat.
Did you ever tell him that?
No way. If I had ever had occasion to even look him in the eye, I probably would have run away.
So it was more of a fantasy relationship.
Yeah.
Anything else that got you upset?
Yes. While I was in school in Hillsboro, I knew there had been the problem getting me into school. They had told just ridiculous excuses. For instance, when my mother brought me to the school to present me, they examined my fingernails. They examined the back of my neck. They looked at my ears. They then said, well, this child is not clean. You know a mother's polished her kid up before she takes it anywhere.
Yeah.
This child is not clean, and our children are clean, so this child cannot go to this school. That was before Senator Johnson hopped in. Yeah, I knew there had been a problem in getting me in this school, and of course my father was busy shaking his hands down my throat about, you better do good.
Mm-hmm. Was this, do you think that the objection was more on a class basis or on a race basis?
Race basis.
Were there... Middle class or lower class
whites? They were upper class whites.
But were there any lower class whites who went there either?
No. But that was just because they did not live in that district because properties were too high.
Mm-hmm. What about on a sort of an everyday basis in terms of just going to school or being around the house? Were you easily upset?
I was always told that I was a very nervous child, but I never felt that I was. Mm-hmm. I ran away a lot. When I was very small, I started the running away.
And where would you go besides this?
Back on these streetcars. When I was very little, I could get on a streetcar and the conductor wouldn't see me because he'd think I was with somebody. And I used to run away in my sleepers, just getting out of town. And this goes back so far, they would send the Boy Scouts out looking for lost children. Mm-hmm. And the fire department would join in searches for lost children. And usually, you know, there'd be some nice lady on a streetcar who'd say, look at the little colored child, and give me a piece of candy or something. Mm-hmm. So that was dinner right there. I had that part made. And I'd be fine until some big hand of the law would reach out and get me.
What about, you didn't have grandparents or people you could run away to?
No.
Who would hide you?
No. Or I'd had it made. He never would have seen me again.
Were you
my life story would have been different.
Would you have been
my first
when you
beating,
got back?
My first beating came from running away. The Boy Scouts and the fire department had been called out. And one of the groups found me and drug me back home. And I was out there in my sleepers at that point. I had crawled out of my crib. It was still a crib stage. Mm-hmm. And somehow or other gotten down those front steps and made it.
Well, you did have a career. You
yeah.
started that early.
Yeah.
What did you find that made you happiest? What would you most prefer to do when you were young?
Going to the movies was something special to me. I remember one weekend I was allowed to, in fact, I was driven up to San Francisco, and my girlfriend and I, Jane Williamson, were going to be allowed to go to a movie on Market Street. Now, that's really big time. All except one movie, Red Dust with Gene Harlow. So where did we go?
Why was that one banned?
Well, that was parental guidance, or whatever was the equivalent at that point.
Oh, Gene Harlow with something of a risque.
Well,